Hello, welcome back to Rudy's Common Sense. And of course, I'm Rudy Giuliani. The narrative has already begun to set in our new world, the world of censorship, the world of the Iron Curtain of censorship, where the repetition of the same narrative is almost word for word identical on ABC, CBS, NBC, some days now even Fox, CNN, I can't go through all of them. You know that. The New York Times, the Washington Post, all the newspapers, the magazines, the whole big media repeat the same thing as if they're an organ of the Democrat Party. Every narrative the Dems want to spin, they can spin. Well, we have another example of that. Honestly, at this point, I don't know how bad, and I am going to fully examine it in great detail over the weekend. But for now, I want to point out some of the things just so that it doesn't get so locked in your mind that it becomes impossible to see the other side of it if there is another side to it. And I'm talking about the horrendous thing that occurred after the very, very uplifting rally for President Donald Trump on the 6th of January, the day that the vote was being taken. I was there. I spoke at the rally along with Donald Jr., Professor Eastman, several others, and the president. The rally was magnificent. It was quite beautiful. I mean, it was a rally of love. Probably one of the things repeated most often was, we love Trump, we love Trump. Whether you love the president, like the president, admire the president, dislike the president, disagree with the president, or hate him, you've got to admit he's got extremely loyal supporters who have deep, deep affection for him. The level of his support, the level of those people strongly committed to Donald Trump has always been substantially higher than any other American politician. Having been involved in both his campaigns, the level of deep loyalty to him in comparison to Biden was 4-1, and in comparison to Hillary, it was 3-1. And well, whatever the case, these are the people who were there. I don't know how many. As far as the eye could see, from the ellipse all the way to the Washington Monument, where I could see people lined up listening, they all seemed to be really nice people, even though they're in a difficult situation with Biden having been given the electoral votes in the disputed states, they still had hope. And of course, great passion. The speeches that were given were received really well. They didn't create any anger or excessive anything. There was no violence at the speeches, none. No hint of it, no taste of it, no feeling of it, nothing at all. Then, can't remember exactly how long, sometime thereafter, there was an incident at the Capitol in which people broke in or were led into the Capitol and did a significant amount of damage. And it also tragically led to the shooting death of a young woman by the police under circumstances that I'm not sure at this point should be described until they're fleshed out in more detail. But my sympathy and condolences go out to her family because this is not a situation in which anybody should have died. Let's begin by making it clear that throughout my career, I don't think anyone would doubt that I've always abhorred violence. I don't believe in it. I don't believe it solves anything. And I believe that it is often used to discredit decent causes, and sometimes it's used to extend really horrible causes. There's no real connection between the two. Both happens. But people who are involved in it should not be involved in America, because America should be persuaded by ideas and words and rationality. The name of this podcast is Common Sense, and that should be the medium of discussion. Common sense. Never violence. No excuse for it. On the left, on the right, in the middle, or in mixed situations. However it happens. And it's been happening in politics, and it's been happening in government for generations, going back hundreds and hundreds of years. People develop very, very strong views about politics, and then sometimes corruption gets into it, and they have other motives. But violence and politics, unfortunately, intersect at times. The narrative here, just to simplify, which became immediate, and of course you could predict it would be because of the hatred for Donald Trump by the prevailing media and the Democrat politicians who completely control the prevailing media, would be to blame the riot on Trump. The riot took place because of Trump's rally. Nothing could be further from the truth. And I can't give you all the definitive facts yet, but I can give you some facts to start thinking about over the weekend that will begin to give you the chance to see a separate narrative, which you will not be shown on any of the censored media that run as a organ of the Democrat Party and of Joe Biden, almost as if they were part of the Soviet Union government or the Nazi government or current Venezuela or current China. So I'm going to give you facts, and then hopefully in more detail later next week when we can examine a lot more footage, I'm going to give you facts you're not going to see elsewhere that create a very different conclusion about this riot. First of all, to connect the rally and the riot would mean that at the rally, you know, things were said and things were suggested and violence was incited and the crowd went wild, and then the crowd just ran off and spontaneously engaged in a demonstration against the Capitol, crashed their way into the Capitol, and did whatever damage they did. Well, that isn't what happened. The rally ended. No one was incited to anything at the end of the rally. And the riot was pre-planned. The riot was planned well before the rally. So irrespective of what the rally did or didn't do, the riot was going to take place. Now, how do you know that? Well, you know that because they brought with them, the rioters, as opposed to the people that were at the rally. I didn't see people at the rally with rope, with hammers. I didn't see them with bats. I didn't see them with glass-breaking equipment. I didn't see them with vials of chemicals. I didn't see them with bottles of milk or walkie-talkies or high-end cameras and video equipment. They all seem to be just themselves and freezing, actually, with their hands going like this. So the point is that between the rally and the entrance to the Congress, which I guess was about a half hour, maybe an hour at most, it's impossible to think that these people went and bought all these things, you know, all these implements of being able to break and enter. This is like the crazy lies about the Benghazi thing being spontaneous when they brought, wall scaling equipment, and they brought bazookas, and they brought knives and pitchforks and the implements that he used to climb mountains or walls. Obviously a pre-planned demonstration. This was a pre-planned attack on the Capitol, which would have happened, rally or no rally, or irrespective of anything said at the rally, and nothing said at the rally would amount to inciting anything. And it didn't incite anything at the moment it was said, much less later. And if it didn't incite it at the moment it was said, it's not going to do it much less later, because it wasn't repeated over and over again in some kind of truck riding through there. So who and what organized this rally? Well, we don't know yet completely. But what we do know is that the basic thrust here were people who were skilled at doing this, because the implements that I told you that were brought with them were ropes, hammers, bats, specialized glass breaking equipment, chemicals that could be used for that purpose and other purposes, bottles of milk so that they could ward off tear gas or the other forms of gas that they are usually hit with. So these are professional rioters. There were numerous people who were skilled at scaling walls. I assure you, most of the people at the Trump rally are not wall scalers. They're not rock climbers. They're not going up, the great big mountains of New Hampshire and Vermont, much less Europe. These guys were good. Boom, right up the wall. Not Trump people. Most of them were let in by Nancy Pelosi's Capitol Police. They just opened the door and let them in. They had walkie-talkies. Generally, you don't take a walkie-talkie to a rally, but you do take it to a riot. And they had high-end cameras and video equipment so that they could memorialize the things they wanted to memorialize about this attempt to try to stick unfairly this on the Trump campaign and on Trump. In other words, to frame Trump. Not unusual, right, in Washington. They've been doing it for 4.5 years. I don't need to mention all the things and all the lies and all the frame-ups they've tried to create for him. So this wouldn't be too unusual. But now to try to prove what we're saying, I want to take you through a short tape. And what it's going to show you is, it's going to show you a guy who's identified as an Antifa guy. He has mostly Antifa type black stuff on. He does have a ski hat on, which he's flipped around. On the back, he has Trump in white letters. It is not an official Trump anything. Easily could have been painted on or for that purpose. But he's attempting to break a window. Can't tell if he has just a hammer or one of those specialized instruments for breaking a window. And it looks like he's being lifted up because they're trying to break the top window. Probably he's going to come in the top and open the door. That's the plan. So you see him lifted up and you see him hit the window. I think you may see him do it a second time. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes a big guy with a red hat on, a MAGA hat on, and he takes him to the ground and he restrains him. And you hear the Trump people yelling, Antifa, 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 Antifa. And you hear them yelling that he should stop. And then later on, after the hero that stopped it leaves, he tries again and several women, Trump-supporting women, stop him. So right from the very start, what we see is at least this group of Trump people didn't want to see the law broken. And the Antifa guy and several of his colleagues were the ones trying to break in. So let's take a look at that tape so you can see it for yourself.
America, we are under attack, not by these police officers necessarily, but by the deep state. Here we are in the middle of a militant leftist deep state globalist operation trying to make Trump supporters look like idiots and that we're violent agitators. With truth and fact, there are people dressed up in MAGA hats and other gear that are pretending to be MAGA supporters, and they're instigating, and they're playing on the emotions of all Trump supporters. Listen to this. These are people that love the cops. We love the police, but a few Antifa dressed up as Trump supporters.
You also, during that tape, heard the narrative, and I believe the gentleman's name is Nick Funes, and Nick Funes, and he makes the point that, of the obvious point, that this was something that was put together by the left movement. It doesn't necessarily only mean Antifa. It means others that were trying to do anything they can to destroy any attempt that Trump had to rectify the massive voter theft of the Biden campaign. It was intended to make Trump look bad. I guess I can summarize Nick Fuentes in my own words, which kind of a law enforcement words. It was clearly a frame-up, like Russian collusion, like the innocent Ukrainian conversation, on and on and on. That means people are expert at trying to frame Donald Trump. Just in case there's any doubt about it, here's an interview with a woman named Catherine, who largely, this is contemporaneous, largely lays out the same scenario.
Hi, my name is Catherine. I'm a small business owner. I came out here to support Trump. It was pretty terrible yesterday. All of us were fairly peaceful. There were a couple of undercover Antifa that were in the group. They were disguised. Some of them had red bandanas, but most of them were wearing like Trump hats, either backwards or like loosely fitted in order to kind of like stand themselves out. When I was walking to the Capitol, I have a broken foot, so I left early to try to avoid the crowd. And I was walking, and this guy with pads on and kind of like army colored clothes, he was like talking in a walkie-talkie, and he goes, "All right, guys, I've got like a team of six guys, blah, blah, blah." And I just thought, oh, it's ex-military getting all really excited about like all his buddies are here. But then I saw him on the news last night, and I was like, holy shit, that was Antifa. And I know that when I was up there, one of the guys that was like pounding on the window, this cute girl, I think she was Cuban, she had a little tutu on, but she screamed like Antifa, Antifa, and like some guys grabbed him.
And what they're telling us is that this was an attempt to slander Trump, and to reduce the impact of this rally, which was rather impressive. A couple hundred thousand people in the freezing cold, basically saying they felt the election was stolen, which merely reflects the polls that now exist that over half the Republicans, I don't know, maybe it's 67% of Republicans believe it was stolen, and 30%+ of independents, 17% of Democrats. Those are starting to get to be big numbers. You know why they think it's stolen? Because it was. And because even though the Iron Curtain is holding back the evidence and accusing everybody of being traitors about the evidence is coming out. The evidence is coming out. And the votes are mounting, you know, stealing 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania. That's a trick most places, not for Pennsylvania, I mean, not for Philadelphia, which is, you know, world-class voter fraud. Welcome back, and let's continue to give you the facts that are being hidden by the vast majority of our crooked media. Now, there also appears to be some kind of connection going on that really has to be questioned by whoever investigates this involving the police. First of all, the police opened the gates in some places to let the so-called rioters in. Now, I was mayor of a city, that wouldn't have happened. And nor would the police have ever been outnumbered. There's no such thing as the police being outnumbered. Unacceptable. I mean, not in a city that has a whole large metropolitan police department that could be called in for reinforcements. I mean, they're a tiny police department, the Capitol Police. The Metropolitan Police Department is one of the great big police departments in the country. There's also the National, we're in Washington. There's the National Guard right nearby. You could get resources like that. So somebody had to make the deliberate choice that we're going to let them in. It's overwhelmed. You ask for reinforcements. Even if they don't get there immediately, they get there pretty quickly before the rioters can get to where they eventually got, which is Nancy Pelosi's office and the halls of Congress, and I don't get not calling for backup to stop it. Mayor, do you know what you're doing? Or are we back in the riots of this summer where people were enabled and permitted and police became observers to the destruction of the businesses in your city? It is the same incompetent mayor that we're dealing with, you know. As a mayor, I will tell you categorically, if I were mayor of that city, and any of you who know me know that they would not have stormed the Capitol. And if for some reason we were overwhelmed, that would have been remedied in about 20 minutes, and they all would have been arrested and thrown out. I question how many have been arrested. I don't know. None. Maybe the mayor doesn't want to find out that most of the wrongdoers really weren't Trump supporters. Because take a look at this.
One marked state trooper vehicle, two black SUVs, there's three state vehicles, state trooper vehicles, escorted four Antifa shuttle buses right here front and center. There was actually five vehicles total. There was three up front, two in the back. They escorted right here, waited for them to get off their buses, and they had the state troopers unloaded and took their position.
This is identified as the police escorting buses, four buses with Antifa people to the head of the line. The head of the line means the people breaking in, like the guy you saw banging at the top, being taken down by the Trump people. I mean, did you hear that story of the Trump people being heroes in the press? Why is it left out if there's an attempt to give a fair narrative? You know why it's left out. Do I have to tell you? Because they're not fair. They're not fair. And now let's listen to John Sullivan. John is 25 years old. He's from Utah. Got a heck of a Twitter account where he talks about dump Trump, rip Trump out of office. It's time for revolution. It's time for racial justice. And he promotes Antifa. And he was promoting this rally also. So he clearly is an Antifa partisan. He's involved in it. He agrees with it. He is not a pro-Trump person, and he is deeply involved in this invasion of the Capitol. Did anybody on NBC ever tell you about him? Well, let's listen to John's views, and let's see if this is a pro-Trump rioter.
We gotta fucking rip Trump out of that office right over there. Fucking pull him out that shit. Nah, we ain't about fucking waiting till the next election. We about to go get that motherfucker. I ain't about that shit. Cause you know what time it is? I want y'all to be after me. It's time for revolution. It's time for revolution. It's time for revolution.
So this isn't just John Sullivan by himself, just kind of happened to be around and he started drop off at the nearest riot. John Sullivan had been advertising on his website, first a riot in Provo, Utah, that appears to be an anti-police riot, but then he was advertising this riot for quite some time and inviting Antifa people to come. So he was a cheerleader for getting the Antifa people there. And of course, the only reason the Antifa people would come to anything remotely involving Trump is to cause trouble, right? And they did. And they set Trump up. And a willing, crooked media, of course, went along with it. Here's another person interviewed that makes it clear that these people were not Trump people. Just like you see the Trump person trying to suppress the person who's trying to break the law. Just in case, let's listen to this.
They were dressed as Trump supporters, but I could tell by their conversation that they were looking to do, and I heard them say, we got to shake this up so that these people look bad. And I saw them break a window on the Capitol. I'm an emergency management coordinator in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania. And these people were talking amongst themselves. And I was standing and listening behind them what they could do to make Trump's people look bad.
And, you know, words are important to give you focus. But now let's take a look at the Trump people protecting the police, on the side of the police, which is where Trump people are. Trump people are attracted to Trump because he's exceedingly pro-police. He's law and order. If you're a Trump person who isn't, and you're a Trump person who wants to engage in a riot like this, you're really not a Trump person. Just like they really weren't. But now you see what Trump supporters are like. Watch this. You'll see the Trump people protecting the police. I am proud of them. Without any doubt, the most tragic part of this was the shooting of Ashley Babbitt. My deepest sympathy to her husband and her family and to all of her friends. Ashley was a hero. Ashley was a veteran of the Air Force. She lived in San Diego. She was 35 years old, and she was, from everything we can see, a very, very strong supporter of President Trump and was there in that capacity. And hard to know, and nor is there any judgment on what she was doing or not. That's going to be subject to an investigation, except I think we can all conclude that there's no reason for her to lose her life. But in any event, you look at the footage. I know it's very graphic, and if you can't look at the footage, I perfectly understand that. But if you can, I think it'd be very, very useful to see the ambiguity of what happened here, and also really kind of ridiculous to blame this on Donald Trump, unless you're doing it because you're a vicious partisan politician. As you can see, it's a very difficult situation, and we don't want to get too involved in it. We don't want to get too involved in it because it is going to be the subject of a long investigation, and we don't want to in any way prejudice the investigation. So I showed you this. It is not by any means a full and complete analysis of everything that happened. We're going to struggle to do that. I'm going to work all weekend trying to gather more and more footage. But what it does do is it does, I hope, raise questions about the fairness of what you're seeing on television and in the newspapers. And there's plenty of evidence that Antifa and left-wing groups were leading this in order to damage the reputation of President Trump, in order to do what they could to affect what was going on with the Electoral College, particularly since four states had just the night before submitted letters saying that they were convinced that the count in their state was inaccurate, false, and fraudulent, and that they wanted the vice president, president of the Senate, to return those to them so that they could do the proper forensic audit, so that within 10 days they could return an accurate number. And some of them went so far as to say they wanted to decertify Biden. That happened the night before, or maybe some of it even the day before. And at this point, we had Democrats in panic. Who planned this? How was it planned? Sure wasn't planned by the Trump campaign. And the major protagonists here sure were not members of the Trump campaign, and we have video evidence that the Trump people did everything they could to prevent this. at least in two major incidents. And it seemed that the witnesses, the prevailing number of witnesses, had that point of view. So when people tell you, oh, Trump caused it, mm-mm. This was planned before the riot. There's plenty of evidence that the Trump people tried to prevent these people from engaging in violence. There's plenty of evidence that there were Antifa people there and other left-wing radicals who were well-trained in doing this because they were doing it all summer with very, very little criticism from Joe Biden and Harris and all of the pontificators now who are lying because they leave these facts out. This is what we exist for. This is what common sense exists for. We need things like common sense. Because if we didn't have common sense and 10 or 12 other podcasts and a couple of networks here and there, we'd become a country in which we had no free press at all. We have to go around the Iron Curtain to get you this information. You will not hear this information in the Democrat-dominated, government-dominated, big business-dominated press, which has now become just a mouthpiece of Joe Biden. Now you have the facts. You'll have plenty more next week. Thank you very much.